2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Shut up. The foot is a privilege.
It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
For the Ford Ranger, the truck that's best on ground and off it. Work smarter, play harder.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Darling, in front of fans right now, on their feet and going ballistic.
How does he handle the moment?
Now the pack mark, flying Ryan almost. It's just scampered through one minor score. A point the difference, two to play.
This will be a monumental win for the Magpies here. Treloar, inside 50. Now Jetta's got the one-on-one. Can he rip it away? There's not time. I think it's Collingwood are going to win this. They have outgrunted the West Coast Eagles here with a massive, massive win. And the players come from everywhere. They are a genuinely excited bunch.
Beautifully called, Bristle.
Yes.
Magnificent game of football in the West, and congratulations to the Collingwood Football Club, who just find a way, Bill, to get on a plane and win on the road. Credit to them.
Exactly right, Jim, and they love to travel. They don't travel a lot, but when they do, you just got to put them in for a win.
I think it's 22 out of 19. On the road.
But it's amazing.
19 out of 22.
Yeah, but well done to them, and they have got themselves back on track.
JB, don't you start.
He beat on the red eye.
I'll just introduce everyone around the room, and then I'll tell you a bit about what I've been up to. So nice to see you, Damo.
Hello, Jim, and it's good when Bill's picking up someone for use of the English language.
Yeah, that's it, getting stuff slightly wrong. Duck's got the gym gear on, it's 2 degrees.
Yes, gentlemen. Well, we got the red eye, that's why he's probably a little bit dusty, BT.
But he's putting a bad weight.
That's
duck,
why when you get back, BT, don't just get on the couch and you come in here, you're all sloppy and grumpy. Get
couch
to the
potato.
Gym. Get the endorphins going. Get up and about.
Yes, Brian.
Or do what I did, Bristle, and get yourself to a sunny destination.
Hey, listen,
Cable Beach Resort in Broome.
I just about had a gutful of you, JB. I'm actually sick of you. I'm tired. I'm worn out, and you're just really getting on my nerves at the moment. And do you realise, JB, that you actually represent us when you go away?
Yes.
You've been to Broome, and
that's nice up there.
You need to imagine when you are doing dicky things that you are representing us as a team, and it reflects upon all of us.
Representing us beautiful
on Instagram, Brian.
So when you behave like a wanker, or a tool, or a knob.
Yes,
you are a self-seeking sycophant, photo bombing hunter type operator that is just beyond belief. You become I must get a famous person in a photo. lunatic. You're a lunatic. You're approaching all these people. You're on the hunt for famous people.
Like who?
I see you with Marshy up there with a can of beer in your hand to make it look like you're a real Australian
That's
guy.
It.
Yeah. And you're actually not, because you've got these creepy white fingers that wrap around the tin, and they actually don't look like they should be holding a tin. They look like they should be holding a Penfold's bloody Shiraz Coonawarra knob. Wine.
One beer does him, Brian. Only one beer and it's on his ear.
I mean, Bluey, I see you.
Bluey.
Only played two games.
Even Bluey thinks you're enough in Australia.
He's not that big. Kenny Hunter, of course, their most courageous Hall of the Fame operator. There you are with a photo of him.
Mate of his.
A punter. Whenever punter's around, you haunt him. You stalk him for a photo. And then you have the cheek. And remember, remembering all of this is going on, you're representing us. And you then post the photo of you and Punt.
Who is this?
Steve. Yeah. Oh, what about the one with Steve Moore?
That's it.
Many people would say, who's Steve Moore?
Steve Moore.
Well, Steve Moore said that of JB. Because when he lined up, he thought JB was a fan. This is the captain of the bloody Wallabies, for goodness sake. And I reckon the reason that you have a need and desire to be seen with famous people is because you're not actually famous yourself.
Yes, Brian. Spot
you're,
on.
You're a sidler. You're addicted to you.
You're a nuffy.
And you have a problem. I mean, recently when you went to Broome, Juddy and I think Fev were there.
Yes.
And they saw the bird flying in. and they saw this guy step off the plane, they got on the next one out. They evacuated Broome when they saw the lunatic photo bomber of all time, yes, who represents Triple M Football, represents us, and JB, on behalf of the team, we have had an absolute and utter gutful of you behaving like a major, major tool.
No, spot on. Well said, Bron.
Yes.
Because I'm sick of him too.
No,
just see the photos in Broome. Camel riding along the
camel
beach.
Camel riding.
With him and the
lovely. She's got a little peek over the shoulder going, exactly. The lips going.
Mate, sunset. White beaches.
Camels, beach.
Mate, old lovers' balls
sunset.
Over here. I am sick of you, and she's a good sort.
What else?
And you're not. Oh, mate.
And she's famous and you're not.
That's right. Exactly. Phil, sunsets.
No one asked you to have...
I'm jumping on the back of Bristle. The kids there, resort. Yes. Oh, fair. Then he's got Ash Barty up on his Instagram.
Ash Barty. She's my friend, not yours.
Yes.
How many times can you post a photo of you having an Aperol spritz?
Oh, yes. Spritzer.
Just once is enough per year.
Good too, the spritzer. Just as it gets to about 4:30.
Never seen anything more uncomfortable.
By the way, JB, I'm with you. One with you. You know, he's just up there to have a good time.
That's exactly right.
Shut up, Doug.
I've got the backing of the king.
We're coming to you in a minute.
Lot more
where
you
were Saturday night last week. Now,
and what about
what about that terrible?
What about
the goatee he tried to
mustache.
Oh, yes. He said, I'm in a bush.
Goat.
I reckon I can be like the Dolly Swagger. I'll have some corks and a goatee, and people will think I'm as rough and as tough as nuts.
It got a bit windy and it blew off one day. That's how bad it was.
It looked comfortable up there, Bill. Like one of the real locals.
You had a caterpillar come off one of those palms and it crawled across your mouth.
Where have you been anyway, Fat?
I've been working.
What have you been doing?
I went to Noosa.
Did you?
Noosa.
So well, what did you do there?
With Surf Life Saving Club. I'm saving the kids. I'm putting some money in the tools for the kids.
Speaking of that, Bill, JB's gone. You shouldn't have gone to Noosa, mate. No. Noosa's not you. You're a father.
I am Mr. Hastings Street. Don't worry about that,
you're
Brian.
You're not me. Noosa type.
Now, you're being a parent too on this particular trip, Bill. Did that curtail activity anyway?
I took Slapsy. Right. And I took
how did he go in the front bar of the surf club?
Well, he knows how to put on a trifecta. And he just struggles with a quad. We'll get him around to that.
He's only 14. He's got time to work it out.
Exactly. But no, he took a mate, Ben. Ben come up with him. Right. So they could just go down Hastings Street.
You sent him down there.
Well, they got a food court there. They can have their McDonald's or Subway or whatever they want. Yeah.
How many hours did they spend by themselves with you doing what you were doing?
A fair bit. But and they got ice cream shops so they can look at and have a good look at
that'll
what ice cream.
They do all of that.
Walk along the beach.
And they go to the movies.
And they know where I am.
And they know where you are.
Up there at the tab. I tell you, I saw up there Soss.
Soss was hiding up there.
And guess who else was
there? Who else was there?
Well, the president, Mark Dudashay. Whatever his name. But they got 63,000 members, a record membership there at Carlton. They're going okay. Well, they pumped it up and Soss had a couple and things. But
you ask him what was going on. I hear is he going to bail out early next year?
No. Him and Mark are very close. Yeah.
I think you'll find it.
So that seemed all good. And,
all right.
So you wouldn't believe who you run into up there at Hastings Street. Very, very nice up there. But, lovers'
balls. Amazing for you to run into anyone, Bill, because you stay in an apartment that's 20 metres across the road from the surf club.
Yeah, the French Quarter.
Yeah, you basically just walk over there until you can't have a drink anymore and you walk back then you do the same thing the next day. How do you run into anyone?
I thought it was closer, to be honest. It's actually 100 metre walk.
It's about time you blokes, and you included, Bill, you just sit there like a big...
Any mirrors today?
But you can't be going on holidays in the footy season, mate.
Like what are you doing next Saturday?
I'm going to Alice Springs to work, Bill.
But you will... You with us?
You and Duck flying around and Damo and JB. I'm the only one here as I look at you all now. And I look at you and all and go, you're a feeble lot.
You bang on about this every year when people take off. No, but you've become particularly unhinged.
Mr. Public out there would be saying...
You have lost
Brian's right because what he does is applies himself for the 30-week season.
Is what the public says?
And then he gets 20 off.
Do you reckon they're sitting around going, Brian's right?
He gets 20 off.
You get 20 weeks off. And that's what they'd all be saying about you guys.
I don't get 20 off.
I heard last week he absolutely lost it, Jim. He's had enough of everyone having holidays. And working down in Tassie last week in the twilight fixture on the Sunday bill with Nigel Carmody, I heard you lost it.
And flying out at 9 o'clock that night wasn't a great result. But
how did you and Nigel go? How's the timing? Was Tanya on the stopwatch?
Now listen, Bill. I was over at Bassendean Oval in Perth yesterday doing a little lunchy. And a guy asked me that question. Is it true that you're... And I said, my wife has never been to the footy. She wouldn't know what the
She's
footy
got two
so
stopwatches
stop
at home.
She records it
scurrilous, non-truthful rumours. That is absolute garbage. And that's insulting my
when
wife.
When you did it with Jason Bennett last
She's had a gutful of you and she now understands what's going on with you.
No, because I think Nigel, Carmody, and also Jason Bennett, who you call, they don't know the rules like Jim does, and they go a bit longer.
That's true. That was last year when Tanya did time Jason and BT doing that game last year.
I've been encouraging them.
He had more time
take it
you.
All.
Like Bruce does.
Do the whole thing.
Hang on, if you've been encouraging him, then why did he say Bruce was the only one person who loved working with and not you?
Why
because everyone wants to call with the world's best.
You didn't
in
even
Bruce.
Get a mention, but what I'm saying is the way you describe it is that Bruce is all encompassing. He's there to help. He's there to make you a better team member.
That's what he did, though.
And there was no mention of you being any of those things.
Well, I'm there to call the footy.
You were just saying you.
So if he wants a bit of loving up or something else. Go and talk to Duck and Fluffy Old Bill.
Give Bruce a go.
I'm there to call the footy.
I'm there to call the footy, Brian. Come on, Brian.
And as long as you get more than 50% on Tanya's recording, you're happy, aren't you?
Not true.
Yes. What about you, Duck? You got back on the red eye and went straight to the gym.
Yeah, I did. Well, like I said, if you don't, you just become, you just become sluggish. And that's what I've noticed about men over here.
He's
become sluggish. So you get up, you go to the gym, the natural endorphins, you get down to the South Melbourne market, have a look around, Bill.
What at?
Well, all the meat shops and the seafood shops, and they've got a rug shop there.
You and Liquors, and your eyeballs are rolling at the end of the flight. Didn't shut up. You didn't stop talking. You didn't stop drinking.
Well,
it's a bit of
who are you talking about?
You and Liquor. The triple Copeland Trophy winner, Paul Lequeria.
Yeah, it was good to see Liquor. He's, you know what, very, it was good. We did have a couple of nice reds before we got on. By the way, our plane was delayed as well, probably we're going to get extra grumpy by about half time, I reckon.
Cool.
Because he's had not a lot of sleep.
Better than where I saw you last Saturday.
Not a lot of sleep.
Oh, no.
At the Emerald Hotel, down
yes,
here.
Yes, we had to fulfil a function, Bill, and look after some Tasmanian businessmen.
No one turned up at the function.
No.
There wasn't a function. BT. Oh, it was actually a sold.
After no one turned up. It was a sold.
It was a sold experience with Bill and Duck. Duck Bill, you get it? Bill and Duck. Anyway, it went well.
And then I went to the footy. You stayed there, did you?
Yeah. No, I had to take him out.
Where'd
you
go?
Out for a little while. Pet shop.
Meow.
Now, Fat.
Fat!
Your brother,
Blair,
makes his broadcasting debut on the big stage.
He does today with us.
With us.
Yes.
Doing the boundary for us.
Yep.
Hawthorne, and of course, and the Dockers.
Freo, they're playing Jim yesterday. Grant Birchall Day.
I said Freo, Hawthorne.
Do you know, how would you say it? Grant, or you'd say Grant?
Grant.
Well, it's Grant.
Yeah.
Grant
well,
Birchall.
For you it is.
Do you know Grant Birchall hasn't played senior footy for 740 days?
I'm not talking about that, Bill. I'm talking about the fact that your brother's on a microphone.
So you've read the paper, Bill.
Yeah, we could wait for two men to get here for that.
Yeah, well, so but I just put it out there.
What's Anson or
Blair?
Blair doing for us today?
Blair? Well, he's driving down now from Hobart. Touch nervous.
He should be.
You know, he was on the Collingwood list, Blair. And he got put off the list because, believe it or not, he was too skinny. He couldn't put on weight. So he was there for a couple of years, then ended up coming over to Hobart, playing at Clarence, three or four premierships there.
Yes.
And he loves his footy. So it'll be good to go down to Blairy and just see, because it looks a bit cold to me and windy. It's very nice being where we are now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't want to be down there on the boundary.
No, and he will be. And he'd want to get his act together, Bill, because otherwise we'll give him the lemonade and say.
Can I just say, he's a brownless.
Yes, he'll be doing the around the grounds for us today, Bill.
I tell you what I did do last night, Dad Brown, yeah. And that's got on the plane from Perth to Melbourne about 8 minutes before the ball was bounced, and then obviously when I arrived, looked at the score and saw that Collingwood had got home in one of the great games by a point. So I can't comment on anything to do with it, but you were there and so was Duck. So tell us a bit about how it went down.
It looked like they were going to get blown, not blown away, but it looked like they were going to get pushed aside at one stage, didn't it? In fact, as you went into the last quarter, you're thinking, oh, West Coast by 30 points here. You know, that's the way it's going to be. But to Collingwood's credit, I think they come out and kicked the first goal in the last quarter and played a much tighter game because, JB, it was just a goal frenzy. In the early, in the first half, really, Duck, wasn't it? I mean, they kicked 12 goals collectively in the first quarter between them, and then another six or eight in the second quarter as well. So it looked like if they kept playing that way, that West Coast were going to probably run away with the game. But Collingwood's ability to play on the road, absolutely incredible.
Nice. Yeah, there was a real period in the third term where West Coast had control of the game. Collingwood were just able to hold them up. So West Coast weren't able to put then score on the board like they were in the first half. Held them up, and then Collingwood owned, owned the last quarter.
Yeah.
20 inside 50s to 5.
Yep.
So dominated. The one thing Collingwood...
75% of time in forward half in the last quarter.
One thing they did, which I thought might cost them in the end the Pies, they just kept bombing it to the same area.
Yeah,
just
right.
bomb. But invariably, if you get repeat entries, you're eventually going to score, and they're able to get enough to get the win. But
having said that, I didn't think the West Coast played bad. I still think they're going okay. They look okay, and they're going to be part of the top five come the end of the year. No doubt about that.
A very important win for the Pies.
Yeah.
From a season point of view.
It was. It's got them back into second spot, Jim. They lost going into that game 3 weeks earlier beat Western Bulldogs, but then lost to North Melbourne and Hawthorn. And they just needed to steady the ship, didn't they? And Nathan Buckley last night, Jim, spoke of the importance of just getting back onto the winners list.
The games over the last couple of weeks are just as important, but they were dropped. So, but I suppose to right the ship and to have us head back in a direction that we believe that we're on, you get the win tonight, I think was critically important for the momentum of our season. Yeah, this was a good one to win. I'm not disappointed.
And one of the reasons it was critical, you're saying it's critical there, when you look at their draw, Damo. So GWS and Richmond to come, they had to win at least one or two of these
probably.
Three, didn't
they?
Yeah,
yeah. But see, they've now got to go through an extended period of time without Darcy Moore. And I say extended because even if it's a minor hamstring, in Darcy Moore's life, there's no such thing as a minor hamstring.
Well, if it's normally 3 weeks, with Darcy Moore, it's probably four or five.
Four or five, yeah.
Led to believe it's not a minor one.
Right. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, it's quite possibly the end of the home and away season, if it's not minor, and that's yet to be proven. So let's wait for the official diagnosis. But they've already got to get through the last six games without Jaden Stevenson. Yep. Their main forward, the way they structure up, and now they're without their main back for an extended patch
as
well.
Which makes it all the more impressive. But let's not forget, they made the grand final last year without Darcy Moore, and they made the grand final last year and nearly won it, Bill, without a number of players. So for me, Collingwood's depth is proven. There's no question about that. What hasn't been proven with them over the last few weeks is just the way they've played. It's been, I guess, for the last 18 months, unlike Collingwood. So back to their best, and you know, you're right. That's the sort of win that can catapult you into the top two, Bill, and have a real crack at a premiership. So you know, nothing but praise for how they all went about it last night.
How did the forward line go? Because it hasn't functioned the last couple of weeks.
They clearly had a plan early, Bill. Mychek was the lead-up player.
Yep.
You want to make McGovern and Barras and these guys, Shepherd, you want to make them accountable.
Yep. So they honoured that lead, didn't
they? Honoured that lead. Hearn very good as well at you know, obviously getting off his opponent, helping out. So they honoured that.
Mychek
hit the scoreboard.
Where was Cox and DeGoey?
Cox actually got back a bit, so he wasn't caught. He was never caught under the ball. I can't remember too many times he got caught under
the
ball.
And the ball was strategically placed in front of him.
So it was kicked better to him, so there's no question about that. So it's not all on him. The ball was kicked much better to him, and he nailed his opportunities. So it worked a lot better. I will say this, though, Bill. The concern, and you know, they got the win, but they were so predictable at times just with that kick to the top of the square. Well, every person, including Snowy off the trams, knows that it's going to the top of the square to Mason Cox, to So everyone knows. All that they have to do there, which surprised me, and I don't know whether they practice, you just have to use angle. You just got to angle the ball more. You go a little bit more to the top side or the fat side. You know, just angle the ball more, which will take that predictability away from it, Bill. And I thought they could have done that. They did a couple of times in the last quarter. And funnily enough, when they did, they scored.
The interesting thing about this game, JB, and I know you didn't see it, but the interesting thing in comparison to last week's round of footy, where it created so much talk about the state of the game and, you know, defensive attitudes and all of that sort of thing, this game in the first three quarters, first two and a half quarters, was just zinging from one end to the other. And West Coast love it coming out of the Collingwood forward line really quick, doesn't give them time to set up. But also they've got such a small forward line, elusive, evasive, quick forward line themselves with, you know, all those players that play down there.
Well, they threw a few things around. Hoskin Elliott played a completely different role last night.
He played back.
And by the way, handled himself, I thought, quite well. So,
speaking of back, Duck and Brian, is Jordan Roughhead the recruit of the year?
Yep. Oh, well, value for money.
Yes, good.
Value for money in the pick, 100%.
And you talk about the injuries. So he was brought in specifically knowing that Lyndon Dunn would miss most of the year to play that role, right? Now, probably at his age now, Lyndon Dunn, and the way that Roughhead's going, probably not going to be, I don't know that there's going to be a position there for him when he is ready to play.
He has not been beaten. He has not been beaten in one-on-ones. He's just so strong. I didn't realise how tall he was, by the way, when he walked past me.
He was a ruckman.
Not all ruckmen are seven foot tall. What impressed me last night a couple of times is when West Coast had the ball outside 50, and the space was there. The space was there for West Coast. He was able to negate the space where the forward, whether it be Darling or Kennedy, was going to lead into. So that player then had held up. And in the end, that was no longer an option, yet all the space was there. He's very good at where he positions himself on the forward as well.
BT, you said before, you're not too concerned by West Coast.
Oh, hello,
Brian.
Just testing my microphone. Mm-hmm. See if it's on.
You're not too concerned by West Coast's loss on a West Coast perspective. They're down to third spot. They could conceivably finish after this round in fourth spot if Brisbane Lions win.
Not one bit conceited when they've got Melbourne, North, Carlton, Hawthorne, teams like that to come. They're going to figure prominently.
They'd still
come
prefer the end of the year. A home first final,
but
wouldn't they?
They would. But obviously, I still think that they are still building towards their best footy. I don't think they've reached the peak yet. You don't have to be playing your best footy now.
Yeah.
I still think they're pushing that way.
Yep.
They've got just about their full list available. I don't think anyone that didn't play for the Eagles last night, except for maybe Hutchings, who's a tagger, would be a walk-up start in their 22.
In their 22, Adam Simpson spoke last night just of a few concerns that have now emerged out of the five losses they've got to this point of the year.
Yeah, we just ran out of steam in the second half, really, and their ability to sustain effort was better than ours. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. The last quarter, we couldn't win the ball. I mean, we were in front three-quarter time, had every chance to win the game, and we couldn't sustain our effort, and Collingwood just got the better of us in the last. I won't be saying it's unacceptable and we've got to get better, but we got out 100 in that last quarter, and it's something we've got to redeem. Tonight wasn't our night, and we need to get better.
And also that match last night, it allows Geelong to go into tonight's game against St Kilda with the near certainty to be finishing round 17, two games clear of the second team.
They can't
miss a top
spot. The other one interesting is Brisbane.
Yep.
If they win, they play Port Adelaide, I think, Sunday.
They could get to...
They go to 44 points, which is level with Collingwood and West Coast.
And they've got a pretty easy run home.
Yeah, they've got a lot of games at the Gabba.
Pretty easy run home or pretty easy run over the full 22?
Oh, big on this, Jim.
I have had the greatest draw any club has ever been presented.
But so they should. They're down the bottom of the ladder and they've been battling for a few years.
What's happened to your mob, by the way? Go away for a holiday and suddenly they get all wobbly. What happened to the Cats?
It's a bye, Jim.
That's causing them the trouble.
It's just the buy. I don't know what's happened. I watched the game last week. It was very ordinary. So you'd hope they at home tonight, they get back on the bike,
Saints.
Jim, and they fire up against
right.
the Saints.
Let's hope so.
Come
fat.
On. Right. You watch the cricket, Jim, during the during the week?
I did. Well, I watched on my phone.
The semi-final?
Yeah. Well, what did we say, Fat? Well, more importantly, what did I say?
What did you say?
If we don't get the batting order right and get another batsman in,
Finches.
We are going to be exposed in big games. And
you know,
we were.
You know what I said, Jim?
Warner quiet again.
Oh.
Warner quite again.
You said that, Bill, when he was the number one run scorer in the tournament.
How many did he make in the final?
He didn't make enough.
No.
He had a bloody good tournament. You're not going to be critical of Dave Warner.
But, gee, that was disappointing. They were, three for ten.
Pounded. Pounded. Maxie,
Stoinis.
What about my brother? He was very good.
Yeah, he was. Had a very good.
He caught one on the chin too. Yeah,
and caught his helmet before it fell on the stumps. Just coordinated carries.
You're all over the cricket.
I've been away, so my news antenna, which is normally awfully sharp, as you know, has been blunted by lack of access. But I understand that our man Chris Judd, who can square his shoulders, and we love anyone who's prepared to square his shoulders, has he decided to go whack, or what's going on?
I think it's a fair assessment, Jim, of what happened in your absence. It started on Footy Classified on Monday night when he made some comments about the next Carlton coach, of which he's obviously a member of that board and will be crucial to determining, couldn't have training wheels on. It was construed by certain people that that was a comment directly related to their caretaker coach, David Teague, and he copped it. So last night on the Friday huddle, he had his return serve.
I didn't say David Teague's got training wheels on. He's got 12 years of coaching experience. He's been at four clubs. He's coached his own VFL side. He's now coaching his own AFL side. That would qualify as not having training wheels, for the record. The context got changed, and all of a sudden those comments were saying they were directed at David Teague, which they weren't at the time. And David Teague came into that conversation post those comments. It was mischievous that the context was changed and people have taken it and run with it.
Do you think you've been unfairly targeted on the back of being taken out of context?
Yeah, I think it's grubby to change the context around someone's quote to create some potential conflict and elicit emotion in football fans who we know are emotional by nature and don't have the time to sift through media with the same level of scrutiny as journalists should. Be clear, neither me nor anyone else at the club is ruling him or anyone else in or out of this process. But whoever comes in needs to be a competent coach from day one, not a coach that's not competent yet with a heap of potential and will be competent in the future. That's not what we're looking for.
Never heard so much garbage in my life from Chris Judd. That's just nonsense. He's thought about that after and he's gone, how do I get out of this? Everyone knows what he was thinking and talking, and he was referring to trainer wheels with senior coaches, with coaches that hadn't coached at senior level before. That's what he said. That's what he meant. And now he's been able to go back and say, oh, yeah, he's done a few. What a load of nonsense. We know what he meant, and I disagree with what he said.
Okay, well, that's your take on it, BT. I'm not even going to get involved with all that, but what I do know is that David Teague's not going to be the coach of Carlton.
He's so not.
Isn't that interesting?
No, he's not.
Isn't that interesting?
They did not move on Brendan Bolton for David Teague to be that person. So while Chris Judd can now say what he wants to say around it and dance around it, if you're saying that, BT, that's his right to do. But that club will not be employing, the way I read it, David
Teague. That's exactly the way I read it.
As the
who are they looking
coach.
At then? Who are the coaches?
They haven't started, Bill. What I do know is there's two people who are guaranteed to be spoken to and will go through at least the initial stages of the whole process. And they are Michael Voss. And Brad Scott. Yep. Now, there's going to be a whole lot more, I would imagine. But they are the two who will be getting interviews. Look, it may be starting even this week, Jim. It hadn't started as of halfway through the week just gone.
Well, they'd both be worth interviewing, I would have thought. Yeah. That's a good start.
Why wouldn't it have started with at least those two who aren't in roles at the moment?
Yeah. Look, they're very comfortable with the timing on it. They were the second club to get involved in it, weren't they? North Melbourne beat them by a week with their decision on Brad Scott. They're comfortable with where they're at. They will ask the question, at least for the second time, maybe for the third time, of Alistair Clarkson. They do and will be aiming to aim for the absolute highest.
Can I put this theory to you, Damo, that the reason they're not starting now and wanting to let us know what they're doing is because they're waiting for someone else that's already in a role, because these two guys aren't in roles.
Yep.
Voss is an assistant, obviously, but they're guys that they could speak to now without offending the clubs that Voss is involved with. Whereas there must be, if they're prepared to wait till the end of the year, they must be waiting for someone that's in a current senior position.
Look, you could well be right in the reason for it, BT. What I do know is they're very comfortable in the time frame in which it's unfolding. So they're not nervous about other clubs getting involved.
I have just spent a week in the West. And
we know.
We've seen the sunsets and the photos and the camel rides.
Yeah. And beautiful Cable Beach Resort. Magnificent. Yeah. But, Damo, what I was, and it's interesting today, we're having a look at Freo and Hawthorn, is knocked over by people in the West telling me that Ross Lyon is out. And I kept saying, how? He's got two more years to
go. At least one, Jim, and it's on massive money. Yeah.
So, and anyway, it was one after another of these people came up, and I kept looking at them going, I haven't heard that, but I don't live in this part of the world and don't have a great line of sight on what Freo are doing from a board, you know, governance point of view. So I had no idea. But, Duck, when you hear it that often, you start thinking, wow, this has really gained momentum in this part of the world.
Ross was emphatic in how he answered that question, though, wasn't he? He said, I'm contracted to Freo, I'll be at Freo.
I think to Jim's point, though, it may not be Ross's decision now.
The one thing over there, and it's interesting because he has so much respect over here, and I think in the whole footy community does Ross Lyon. Mm. I think he's a great coach, but he divides opinion over there with and a lot of it's with Fremantle people. For whatever reason, it seems that there's this swell of supporters that think it might be better for him to move on BT.
That's fair.
That's the feel. It just feels like there's this
it is a scuttlebutt joint, though.
It is.
When it comes to that. So I took it with a grain of salt a bit, but it was a regular message.
I don't know that he is contracted, Damo.
One more year for next year. And I'm not sure what happens beyond that, but he is locked away for next year. Jim, just want to get your views, if you can, please, given your previous life as a North Melbourne chairman, with John Longmire officially yesterday re-signing for the Sydney Swans. He'd already had a contract for 2020, added three more to it. So it's now end of 2023. He stays at the Swans. And in so doing, he's effectively knocked back a $7.5 million, all thereabouts deal, over 5 years to become a North coach. Now, those numbers are a bit obviously flexible. But if he wanted to go to North, the number would have been about that if he chose to go for 5 years. So just your knowledge of the project to get him and the decision to say no.
I don't have any knowledge of the project to get him other than I'm sure the offer would have been good. But with the soft cap, the senior coach offering isn't... It's not telephone numbers because you just can't do it. Otherwise, you strip your footy department of all of its resources.
Well, you can pay the tax.
Neither Sydney nor North Melbourne are clubs that would want to pay the tax given the AFL sort of involvement. Not involvement, but you know, given the landscape.
They've had help.
So I don't think that would have happened. But West Coast, for instance, 100% could pay the tax if they wanted. I'm staggered they actually don't.
No club has paid the tax, which means they haven't gone over the threshold.
Yeah. So anyway.
Since it's been in.
I thought that he would look really strongly at it, not for money, but because, and not for romance either with the club, but just because what's horse 53 is he, or around what industry at 49 gives you the chance to completely realign your career for a decade, which is what I thought North were, you know, positioning to say to him, okay, well, you come here, you've got a long-term deal, you've got an emerging list for NAB Rising Stars already this year, really good financial place, you know, very strong, you know, well-run club now. So that's what I thought he'd go. He'd go, you know what?
Duck and I have been saying, we thought if he goes to North, he guarantees himself almost 10 years.
I agree. Mm. And for me, that gets you to your late 50s, and that is a beautiful, you know, career realignment at a time when Sydney will offer an extension. But, you know, like all footy clubs, if things don't go as well as they planned.
But he's got a four-year deal now, Jim.
A three-year extension.
Plus, which is a four-year deal, Jim.
Emerging list Sydney, you could argue. A well-run club Sydney.
Yep.
But is he going to be their senior coach for a decade from here? He's already done it for 8 years.
Next 4 years guaranteed. I reckon that depends on the success, what Damo's alluding to.
Yeah.
And that's the risk that he takes, because if things don't go well and they don't improve at the rate that he hopes, then he could be moved
on. But if you're not going to back yourself, BT, what are you doing in the industry anyway? And one thing he has done is always backed himself. He's never missed the finals. He probably will this year for the first time as a coach.
He would have thought about all of this, I'm sure. He's a smart guy. But I reckon the biggest player in all of it, his kids were born and bred in New South Wales.
This is key to it.
Now, they're teenage kids, 15, 16, 17.
Yep.
They will finish schooling over the next 5 years. I reckon he's looked at it and gone, okay, if I can get 4 years out of Sydney, that gets me to the end of the critical schooling period for these kids.
Yep.
They'll then be in uni and they can bat for themselves and please themselves after that, let them off the chain. I reckon there's been a little bit of that thinking. That's had a big bearing on him.
Yeah,
going.
I would have no doubt about that.
Do you see him as a North Melbourne or a Sydney person?
No, he's lived in Sydney 18 years.
Yeah, longer.
And I don't know whether you agree with this, Duck, but, you know, there's always romance around Al Clarkson at North and at Adam Simpson at North. But at the end of the day, they're now controlling their own places and doing a brilliant job of it. Yeah. John Longmire, as you say, Damo, has been an extraordinary coach. So he is well and truly entitled to take this job, and they are well and truly entitled to be desperate to keep him because he's amazingly good. Mm. I just look at it as if it's me professionally in our business. I mean, we're even more cutthroat than coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Someone gives you a 10-year option in your late 40s.
The rush hour?
I'm taking it. Do you know what I mean?
Can you get one of those in the rush hour?
No. Funnily enough, I would if I didn't have to put up with you. That's what had happened, Fat. But you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's why I think it was interesting. But I admire hell out of that bloke. I think he's a brilliant coach and well done to Sydney for keeping him.
So who coaches North? Well,
that's a big question now, Bill, because 5 weeks ago, the man who's now a clear-cut favourite, Rhys Shaw, was not in their considerations for the permanent role.
And what Boomer
four
said.
Four wins from 5 weeks later, he is.
And what Boomer said yesterday was good.
What was that? Boomer say?
Already... He's got the trust of the players and got the...
just a little thing. Can I add one little thing to the North Melbourne appraisal when they're looking at a coach? And this is nothing against Rhys Shaw because he's done a great job and I really like the way he's gone about it.
But
really love the way he's gone about it, actually. But I reckon they need... North need a bit of something that they can sell as well.
Yeah.
A bit of hope.
Kevin Sheedy type.
They just need that to be able to occupy their sponsors. Now, I'm not saying that Rhys Shaw can't grow into that over the time because that's what all coaches do. They grow into these roles. And Alistair Clarkson was no different to what Rhys Shaw is now. Yeah. And he's grown into be this absolute... So I just reckon at this time, I ask the question, do North need something really good that they can... be able to sell?
The hardest thing that the club and whoever's in charge to pick the coach, the hardest thing is when you have these fill-in coaches, it's a false economy.
Absolutely it is.
It really is. It's not like
it's not
you're real senior coach.
It's
not real. And that's taking nothing away from Rhys. And I hope he gets the job because I think he's a ripping guy. But it has that has to be factored in. It really does. So
he's got nothing to lose right now.
And yet, they might be sitting on the next great thing.
Yeah. And that's the unknown, isn't it?
I think the next month, Bristol will tell us a bit about North. They've got a tough month coming up.
They have. We've got Essendon this weekend, and they've got Brisbane playing really well, West Coast,
Geelong.
Hawthorn, Geelong.
Yeah, so that's tough. For me, with Rhys, I think he's been brilliant, and I love the way he's got him playing, and he's had this glorious 4 out of 5 week run. But that month will...
Yeah.
I think you get through that, and you see...
They're tough.
But right now, JB,
they're tough, aren't they?
We wouldn't expect... North or Rhys Shaw to beat those teams, would we? They're not ready to beat West Coast, Geelong.
They'll win one of
maybe
those.
Maybe Brisbane.
Essendon's a 50-50 game, but the other ones, I agree with you. So, if through that period you're still seeing really good things and hearing really good things, then his case will be very much enhanced.
Well, if he beats all four of those... I reckon we have to.
Is Brady Rawlings already getting involved in trying to keep Todd Goldstein?
Well, officially starts on December 1, but we know what happens when there's a cooling off period when a certain person leaves the club. He will be doing some calls behind the scenes on North's future.
And I tell you what we're doing here is introducing a man to the broadcast who we haven't had at this level just yet, Bill.
Yeah, we
haven't. He's been kicking around in the two. Well, probably ammos, it'll be brutally honest. For the Ford Ranger, by the way, smart, capable and powerful, can rely on the Ranger to deliver outstanding performance. It's got the grunt to get the job done and the comfort to get there in style. Ford Ranger, work smarter, play harder. So on the boundary today, Bill,
is the local Tasmanian legend. That's what he calls himself, Blair Brownless. Welcome to Triple M, Blair.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill. Great to be part of the coverage here on the boundary line. Looking forward to it, and be kind today, Bill, please.
All right, good start. We run a tight ship here. No mistakes. Clear, precise, informative, please.
Inflections.
Yes, like yourself.
Yes. What's happening there down on the boundary, mate? I dare say it looks pretty cold to me.
You sound like you're speaking in a dunny.
Yeah, where are you?
No, I'm in the box here, actually. You're just taking in the game. Actually, the curtain raiser. Conditions are absolutely fantastic. The sun's out. There's no wind. The ground's in excellent condition. I know it's raining in Hobart and Melbourne, but here in Launceston, it is magnificent.
Good. And what are you expecting today, Blairy?
Well, Freo do struggle on this ground, don't they? They're 0-9 here. Ooh. So the Hawks do play this ground really well. So I think the Hawks, on the back of Grant Birchall, the local boy coming back, the buses are flooding in from Devonport. 5 or 6 buses, I reckon, coming across. And so there'll be a big crowd here today.
Now, Blair, what's your idiot brother giving you by way of instruction about today?
Just be clear and concise. He said it's all about him. So just come in and out as quickly as you can.
Two questions. When we do Sam Mitchell very shortly down on the boundary,
right.
Two questions, throw up to us.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be an issue today because all my best work I pass over the Bill midweek, and so I've kept that all, and so he's got his own material today, so that could test him out.
We thought it was Oscar giving him the information, but it's been you, has it?
It's a combination of Oscar, very sharp young man, Oscar, and so, yeah, a combination of Oscar and myself.
Were you at Collingwood with Brian Blair?
Yes, I was. Now, I played under 19s and reserves there at Collingwood back in the day, and Brian was very kind to me, actually, very good leader. He was worried that I might take his
Deputy
position in the... he was worried that I might take his position in the goal square, but that wasn't to be. So he was very good, Brian.
Just let you in on a secret, Blair. I wasn't that worried. But...
No, nor should you be, too, actually.
No, very nice. All right, well, we look forward to a strong contribution.
Like good conditions. Sun's out.
Fantastic conditions. Honestly, right, it is no win. The sun's out.
Right, okay.
Here in Launceston.
Righto, winder up now. Thank you. Well done. Good start.
Nice start from your man.
Yeah. Geez, I gave him a bit of a rev.
You did?
He might be.
Bill, let's get the untold story started. Hang on.
Gather around.
I remember people particular day.
It's the untold stories.
You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Like the night I ran over Andy Preston in the car park.
Of footballers past.
We're going back 56 years ago.
56 years.
To a VFL legend, John Sharrock is his name. He played for the Geelong Cats, a superstar, the boy from Toolibuck. He played in the 1963 grand final, Geelong Hawthorn, MCG, 101,000 there.
Yes.
And we got the shadow on the line now. John, welcome to Triple M Footy, mate.
Thanks very much, Billy. How are you, boys?
I'm well, old timer. And you got the boys here now.
Not too much the old...
There you are, you're 75. We're talking grand final day, 1963, Shadow, and the Cats Hawthorn, 101,000 there, and it's time to run out in the ground. Everything's happened before the game. You're running out in the ground, so the Cats are led out by Fred Wooler, the captain of the club, the great Freddie. Vice-captain is John Devine. Who runs out onto the ground third in line?
Well, the sequel was the club mascot, the cat mascot, as well as Happy Hammond. Who was Happy Hammond was a Channel 9 identity. I think it was a Tarek show. He had a very staunch Geelong supporter, but how he got out there has got me beat. But
mate, there's 100,000 there, the captain, the vice-captain, and then Happy Hammond runs out into the ground. Now, was he in the rooms before the game?
Yeah, well, he was a regular in our rooms because he's a very avid Geelong supporter. But Bobby had a brainwave, and he's happy with the piano accordion playing a few songs. But there was no Elvis Presley, but just the old handbag going. But it's to relieve the pressure, Bobby said.
And Bill, let's get to the untold story, mate.
No, this is it. So the piano accordion. Now, this is what a piano accordion sounds like for those who've heard. So, Happy Hammond is going around in the room before the grand final playing this. So how does he get third in line and runs out onto the ground, Shadow?
I've got no idea, and I didn't even know he's in the front because I was about middle to run out on, but I've only looked at the vision 3 or 4 times, but he was there with his the cat mascot, and he had his checkered blazer on. He always wore the sort of a hair and bone thing, but he was a great Geelong supporter, Happy. He was unbelievable.
This is like, in the late 80s, early 90s, a footy team running out and having, like, Aussie Ostrich.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I mean, that's how ridiculous it is to think about an AFL VFL team having someone like that lead them through the banner.
Well, our banner was about 8 foot by 5 foot, so it wasn't a very big banner. But I think Fred and Johnny Devine, that ran through it, but the rest of us ran around it. But it was a sort of a makeshift little thing, but...
So you knew nothing about it as players. You turn up to play in the grand final and there he is.
Playing the piano accordion.
Nothing about it at all, but he was definitely... he was in full swing with us. He was run around the ground with us and sort of warming up, and he was unbelievable.
Hey, tell us about these rumours come back that when you used to jump on the bus at Geelong, you'd stop in Werribee and you'd have a steak as you're travelling up to play that day.
No, no. We started off at the club rooms about 9 o'clock with a steak or a chopper or a snag. That'll put a big lump on your stomach for about 3 hours. And we get to Werribee by bus, because it was compulsory to go up by bus on those days, and which was great for the team. The committee would go to the pub, have 4 or 5 beers. be Polly, myself, Bobby Davis and Billy Goggin. We go to the tote, put a bed on, keep walking. So we'd take about half an hour handballing and kicking to each other for the get through Werribee. And there's a massive amount of young kids used to meet us there, and we get on the bus and away we go and get to the ground about 12:30, 1 o'clock in Melbourne. So that's the true story.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, and it didn't harm your performance either. 49-point win, which is a big margin in those days.
Well, what happened was, to those people who didn't know, on the last home-and-home game, we were fifth, and we had to play Hawthorn, who were top. So we beat them by the greatest amount of... I don't know how much we beat them, but the percentage went... We went to second.
Oh.
So then the second semi, we beat Hawthorn again. And Hawthorn beat Essendon to go into the grand final. So we beat Hawthorn the last three games of the year. So that's a trivia question.
Yeah.
Well, Bill...
Mate,
astounding.
And still no one knows. What about the Palais, the old nightclub? The Palais, where you, back in those days, and you were a very good-looking man, Shadow. You used to go to the Palais. Is this true? Because Sam Newman tells us this, that you had a dance card, and you had to go up and ask the ladies if they'd have the second or third dance.
Oh, boy.
No, well, we used to get there topped up pretty, about 11 o'clock, and the old bloke, Harold, at the door, he said, go around the block, walk around the block, son, before you come in, because we're pretty inebriated,
Thank you, John.
Anyway, we did have a card to say, well, look, have a list of... no, that wasn't true, Bill. I never had a card. I just walked in and got the best-looking girl I could get.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, Johnny, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate that.
Hey, good boy. Not a bad side, that, Jim. You had the Lord brothers, Doug Wade, Billy Goggin, Polly Farmer on that side.
Good story, Bill.
Premiership side.
I liked it. But
Brian,
when are we going to do
emphatic
untold stories?
Well, it's been untold.
The story, Bristol, was around how the hell he got in there in the first place.
Yeah, it was good.
I liked it.
It's like pluck a duck leading you out.
Yeah, it's
Brian, don't think that's a bit odd?
It is odd.
Hawthorn, Fremantle, and let's get down to ground level. Blair Brownless is down there with a very special guest, the assistant from the Hawks. Blair.
Yes, we do. We've got Sam Mitchell here, which is great. Sam, big week for the club with the great win last week against Collingwood, and of course Tassie's favourite son, Grant Birchall, back in the seniors.
Yeah, great to get Birch back. He's 2 years out of the game. He's been such an important player for us for such a long period. And for him to make his comeback game down in home state, I think there's a few excited people to see him run out there today.
Yes, the buses are flooding in from Devonport to watch him play. But what is it about this ground and your record here? 78% winning ratio there, and also Fremantle 0-9 at this ground. So it must give you great confidence.
Oh, I didn't realise that, actually. We certainly enjoy playing down here. We know the ground pretty well. There's some tricky little spots, pockets to have shots at goal. But certainly the way the games are played down here, it's usually a nice day. And a little bit slippery today, but it looks like the rain's going to hold off, so hopefully we'll get a good game.
Sam, what do you make of the competition? Do you guys still feel you're a chance to play in September, given the evenness that's unfolding?
Oh, to be perfectly honest, we haven't looked at that. We don't really talk about whether or not our form hasn't probably been finals worthy, and it reflects on where we sit on the ladder. So I think if we win every game, we could still make it. We might be able to lose one, but we haven't talked about it that way. We need to play a brand of footy that's capable of winning finals, and we haven't been able to do that anywhere near consistently enough this year.
Hey, Sam, talking about brand of footy, been a lot spoken about, the state of the game the last few weeks, and sides, I guess, playing defensive footy in the first three quarters, and then when the game's there to be won in the last quarter, they sort of let the shackles off. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree completely. I do understand that there's been some bigger scores. I think we'd kicked four goals up until three-quarter time last week, and we kicked five in the last quarter. So it seems that you are playing a more attacking brand, but we're actually trying to kick more goals earlier in the game. We just weren't able to through the defensive action of the opposition and some of our own poor goal kicking. So to be honest, we're trying to score as much as we can at the moment. We're in a phase where we think that our advantage might be in the offensive part of the game, so we are trying to kick a big score. We're not able to do it just yet, but that's what we're aiming towards, and hopefully we'll see more five-goal quarters rather than just one a game.
So that's definitely not a coaching thing at the start to think, you know what, if we take this team on from the start, we might get blown away, but if we're in it at three-quarter time, we can then take the game on and pinch it, and if we do lose, it's going to be by a small margin.
No, well, certainly not at Hawthorn. That's not the model. I can't say on behalf of the other teams. I know there's a couple of teams out there that play quite a congested style of footy early in games before they open it up later on. But certainly with us, we're trying to kick a winning score. We think, you know, we have really struggled to score this year. I don't think we've kicked up more than 10 goals for about 6 or 7 weeks. So we're trying to find a way to kick 15 goals if we can, and we don't think other teams are going to be able to kick that against us. So we're trying to find ways to score, and if you've got any ideas about how to do that, I'm all ears.
Yeah, get down the middle and just kick it down the forward line,
yeah,
Sammy.
That works, Bill.
Yeah, it's easy as that.
Come out of retirement.
Hey, you've been in good form, Sammy. West Coast Eagles should have won that game a couple of weeks ago, and then a very good win against Collingwood. So you go in with plenty of confidence.
Yeah, well, we've actually, our performances have been better the last 2 weeks, but we won last week by, what did it end up being, 3 points, I think so. But before that, I think we'd lost five in a row, so I'm not sure our form's quite as strong as we'd like. Billy?
What sort of process has Birchall had to go through to get back?
He's played three games back at Box Hill. Started on pretty limited game time, about 60 minutes, and worked his way up, probably played about 90 or 100 minutes last week, and yeah, I was pretty happy to get out there. The fields they've been playing on at Box Hill haven't been in great condition, so I think to get out onto AFL field and run around on the nice grass would be perfect for him, and hopefully he'll be one of the guys that can help us kick a bit more of a winning score. He's obviously got a potent left side, and having someone who's got pretty strong ball use out of our back half has been a little bit of something that we've missed across the course of this season. And I mean, Impey's had a great season along with Sicily, and those two guys, to get a little bit of extra help with Birch, hopefully it'll help us score a little bit more.
And Chad Wingard too, Sam, back into the team today. Is it right that you held him back just to make sure that when he does return, being today, that he's right to go?
I'm not sure. We didn't, as an assistant, I wasn't part of his being available last week. He didn't play at all last week, and this is his first game that he's been really available for, and we get him straight back into the side, and he gives us a little bit of polish. Sometimes, I mean, when you watch the games last night, you look at Collingwood, they got just a couple of those really just talent goals that De Goey in particular kicked a couple of those, and you know, the forward structures and all the things that coaches try to do to create scoring opportunities, sometimes you just need a little bit of talent, and that's what Chad can bring for us, and hopefully he'll be able to just do a couple of those things throughout the game. I mean, we don't expect him to be the best player on the ground with the type of preparation he's had, but for him to get a bit of continuity with his season and hopefully play the rest of the season out and really build towards next year for himself, but to also get some chemistry with some of his teammates, we think it'd be really good for him and us.
How good can Mitch Lewis be, Mitch?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think hopefully he can be very strong for us.
One of the great questions.
I wouldn't have thought it was that good.
Jesus, stock standard.
Well, it's an interesting question for us. I think he took three or four contested marks last week and gets himself in those marking opportunities. He doesn't get outmarked, which is a benefit. I think earlier in the season he was getting outmarked a little bit, but he has been stronger at that since he's come back into the side. And he was able to actually clunk a couple. We've probably got our hands on it in our forward 50 plenty throughout the course of the year, but we haven't been able to take those marks, and he was able to do that last week, kicked a couple of goals, and to get some contested marks in your front half, we know how important they are. Goals are really hard to come by across the competition, as you guys mentioned, so he's a guy that we think is going to have a future for us, and if he can be that key forward, you know how important. I mean, Jack Darling was pretty impressive last night along with Mason Cox at the other end. If we can find ourselves a key marking, contested marking forward in Mitch Lewis, and that'll be really strong upside for us going forward.
I thought it was an exceptional question, and we'll probably finish on that.
That's
one,
Mitch. That's been the best question. Thanks.
No doubt. No question. Hey, good luck today. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Sam Mitchell there, assistant at the Hawthorn Footy Club. And now, something's just come across your desk, Fat.
Well, it has, regarding the duck, of course, the king here. When did you fly over to the West Coast, Duck?
Thursday, actually.
Righto, so you got on the plane and you sat next to?
Adam Treloar, actually.
And Jordan DeGoey was there?
Yes.
And who else? One other.
Oh, well, Jordan DeGoey. And did Jordan DeGoey say to you...
And one other, Bill.
Why are you going to Perth?
No, why?
I think he did.
Did he?
Jordan DeGoey, he said, and why are you going to Perth, mate? Didn't know who the duck was. Oh! And the king was flat. The king was flat.
Well, I can assure you that's a lie.
That's interesting because that's not what you told me, Doug.
No. Well, actually, when I got onto the plane, Bill, and I noticed that, obviously DeGoey and Steel Sidebottom and Adam Treloar all in business class. And I thought, it just took me back to when I was playing. All the best players always... fly business, and the rest of the scrubbers are just back in economy. And DeGoey had much delight, I noticed, Jordan, much delight in turning around saying that Buddha Hocking and Robert Harvey, two absolute legends in the game, just saying, oh, would you like some of my soup? would you like a prawn tail? He was having a bit of fun.
But the original question from Bill.
And the original.
Bill. Jordan asked the duck, why are you going to Perth?
Yeah.
The king was flat. He didn't know who he was.
Bill, answer that, Bill.
Bill, that is answer complete that. Rhubarb.
It does look to me like he might have a bit of Tony Lockett in him. And Tony Modra, who had no idea who any other human being was.
Or Gary Ablett.
Yep.
So, you know what?
Zero clue.
For most, but not me.
A good source, this one.
Bill.
That's a load of crap.
I'm liking it. Shut up. We've got Bill here, of course. Wayne Carey's with us, as is Damien Barrett. And Brian, studying ferociously off to one side. Just getting some pre-work done before the game, Bristol.
Brian. Who's Dylan? Who's Dylan, bro?
An absolute nuff ringing me. And... I've had a gut.
The returning from Perth.
I got to go.
The red eye bristle is my favourite version.
I'll tell you what. You guys are copying this just at this hour. I'm doing a function tonight.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'm emceeing a gala ball.
How did you go last week?
Where I reckon it's going to be that gala.
Where at, BT?
At Crown.
Right.
How did you go last
who's
week?
It for?
I don't know. Something.
Yes, you did. Brian, you had one last week for a footy club, didn't you? And you're charging them, and you actually played in the reunion.
What you're talking about?
Yes, you did. Last Saturday night, you were going. Can't you remember what you did last Saturday night?
No.
Carey.
I went there as the only premiership coach of Kerry Grammar.
And you charged them?
No, I did not.
You charged them?
They charged me.
Oh, rubbish.
$95.
You put in an invoice.
Great team. The only premiership ever that Kerry have won, and I happened to, coach it.
There's a flyer doing the rounds on social media, BT. You were the guest speaker at one of the Perth clubs before you broadcast last night.
Well, I'm often asked to do such a wrong.
And is it
how
true?
Much was that one
is it true you were seen with a little rodent over in Perth?
Well, not the mouse.
The mouseketeer.
Like a little... and he had some cheese hanging out of his mouth.
What, you did a Melman Inger?
Hey?
The mouse promotion.
Did you work a room as you came up from the ground?
No, not one. I did three.
I
went for the record.
While the broadcast had started, you did a room.
I said to the producer, how long have I got? He said, you've got 14 minutes. I said, beauty, I'll be able to fit three.
Three rooms in 14 minutes. You are a friend.
They were just one question rooms.
Bang. Bang, bang, bang.
Who most famously did that, Bill? Before a sporting contest?
Allegedly. Yeah,
allegedly.
You told me Mel Meninga.
Not sure. Bill's not sure.
Allegedly.
It's a state of origin.
State of origin. He's going to... He made his way to the box.
He was the coach.
Yeah, right. And what happened?
Well, on the way up, so sending him out onto the ground, on the way up to the coach's box.
He's worked
a room. Got an envelope. And a big one.
Bill, I hope he hears this and clubs you to death.
No, I'm James Brayshaw saying this.
He He will find out. In fact, Luke, we'll make sure he finds out.
No.
And Bill, he will honestly...
Just get him online.
None of the rugby league, even Cam Smith, would not even mention anything about Mal Meninga.
No, they won't, Bill.
No.
Anyway, I think suffice to say, Damo, that it's going to be a pretty flat room at Crown tonight.
Get out the umpire one where you read it for 10 minutes.
With Peter Carey. Yeah.
I won't be doing a lot.
Now, we've got some news out of the VFL.
VFL, Magic Door, second game back, having played last week about a quarter, or less than a quarter, has got through the first half of the North Reserves game against Essendon BT, picked up the 9 touches, and Luke Davies Uniacki, Jim, who you were interested to see was omitted out of the senior team this week. He's picked up 14 in the same first half.
Yep. And they're getting belted too. They're getting beaten.
So what is it with Davies Uniacki? Is there some major readjustment that they're trying to get him to make? Because this is not only Brad Scott, this is now Reece Shaw.
Yep, I don't know, Brian. He's got enormous talent, and I thought, Duck, the bits I've seen, he was just starting to really emerge and show that talent. But there's obviously... something maybe when he hasn't got the footy, or I've got no idea. He's obviously doing something wrong.
He has to. And without watching them live every week and understanding exactly what's required of him, you don't know. But clearly there's something, because it's now Brad Scott in Reece.
And happening a lot. Yeah. But he's a super talent. What else have we got, please?
the scope at it tonight, Jim, is intriguing on so many fronts for St Kilda and Alan Richardson. And... with the requirement, BT, for him to make and win a final in order to be guaranteed for next year, and that is now getting to a point where he cannot even make finals. So the maths on this is getting nearer. The fact that it's Geelong, the fact that they're not expected to win, and the fact that the possibility that it could be a big loss, it could change the time frame upon which the Saints act and operate on this one, Duck. They have made it very clear to Alan Richardson what's in front of him. He has got his head around, obviously, the situation that he's in, and it's a sort of game that may just see the club bring forward a decision that it's effectively already made.
Well, I hope not off the back of that anyway, because, let's be honest, they're hard to beat.
Especially in Geelong.
Yeah. And all things equal, even if they had everyone up and going.
Geelong should win by 60, shouldn't they?
Geelong should win anyway. So, So therefore, if they get within 30, is that a great coaching performance? And they say, well done, Richo.
Go around another week.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're not expected to win down there.
No.
I don't see why this should be a
defining,
game.
No, but the view now is that the decision has, without being official and without being acted on, has effectively been made.
Well, that's all the noise that we hear.
Yeah. So it's just whether they actually bring it forward to... on the time frame initially.
So you're saying that. Who else is actually saying that they... So you categorically believe right now they've already made their mind up?
Yeah, yep. They do.
Yep. How many other people are saying that?
Oh, no, Duck, I mean, you make phone calls and you don't open your mouth for the sake of it.
The one thing I'll say, and this is the really hard thing about being a senior coach, the position Richo's now in, if that's the case, BT, what a terrible time for him and his family and the feeling he must have of helplessness.
Yeah, it wouldn't be easy.
Helplessness.
Yeah, they haven't handled this well.
Helplessness.
You don't think so? Support,
not this year, they haven't.
If that's the case.
Mm. Just on that, I'm as critical as anyone of the Saints, but I feel they have relayed the process as best they can to Alan Richardson. With him.
I don't know that. I haven't spoken to him, so I don't know. But
you are very defensive of him, and I'm not saying that to get a rise out of
him. I just think he's a good coach, good fella, and he doesn't deserve to be treated like he is.
How's he being treated, though?
Oh, I just think it's been unfair the way they've gone about it. They haven't really come out and absolutely backed him. You heard what was said a couple of weeks ago. I thought that was pretty ordinary, not supporting your coach at the time, regardless of whether you think he's gone or not.
Yeah.
The job of all administrators and people within the club is to support the coach until the day he walks out the door.
I reckon they have. And I've been as critical as anyone about St Kilda. And
publicly they haven't, because that's not the way it came across to me.
I think you'll find that they've relayed the same conversation to him.
Let me ask you about we've got about 2.5 minutes. The Gold Coast Suns very predictably have fired the priority pick shot across the AFL's bow. The AFL have kept... they've said they're never going to revisit that place again, but they still hang on to the ability to do it.
Correct.
But what normally happens, Purple, is as soon as a club asks for that, The AFL make a big deal out of saying they're not going to get it, but then they get a compensation pick that's extraordinary in the next draft, or they get the help.
They'll get
somehow.
Yeah, and they're at the stage now where they probably need it. I spoke with Tony Cochran during the week, and he makes a very compelling case if you want to open your mind up to the need for a significant concession.
Of course he does.
But Bill, it can't be the number one pick in the draft. If they finish last, they can't get picks one and two in the draft.
I said this last week on Talking Footy. If they get a priority pick, I think they should have to trade it.
Yeah.
They can't just get another young kid.
And your reasoning behind that?
The reasoning behind that, they've got to get some mature age players in there. They just keep bringing kid after kid after kid, and they don't
they
develop.
Well, yeah.
Kids don't develop other kids. Mm. And that's why their kids haven't developed like kids at other, you know, even GWS who got core senior players that have gone on and been really good, solid contributors for their club. So it could be a win-win for obviously two clubs in that situation, JB. Mm-hmm. So they're made to trade it. So they go to, it might be Kangaroos, and say, well, we want him,
yep,
and we'll give you the number one pick. So because if you just keep giving them picks, you know what you're doing? You're weighing up the wall. You're weighing them up the wall, and you're going nowhere.
Boy, okay.
A couple of Dennis's
today.
I didn't
know you were doing that. Stephen Coniglio, we were told at the start of the year that he was about to re-sign, was told that then it was going to be the buy period. It's now round 17. The Carlton offer is a very significant one, one that is in the heads of people around Stephen Coniglio. I still feel he stays, but we do know what happens when it gets to this stage of a year historically.
And Bradley Hill, quickly, his name keeps coming.
Yeah, he'll be out of the Dockers next year, back in Melbourne, and a lot of clubs are interested.
Bill's just talking a lot of rumours.
Yeah, well, he loves them.
Well, there's this one down.
Trades him. 133353 is the number, by the way, because it's quiz time.
Oh, yes, Jimmy. Oh.
And we could just get the sting just so that we can do it properly. Here we go.
Today on the quiz, we're giving away a $500 Bob J. T-Mart tyre voucher. All on Triple M's magnificent segment, the Saturday Rub Quiz. Bob J. T-Mart's, hurry in, buy three, get one free. On selected Bridgestone, Dunlop and Hankook tyres. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
There's a nice modern Pete Smith we got doing the voiceover work
exactly
there too.
Irish.
Very nice.
Who
right
is it?
So 133353 is the number. And when you ring, let's say it's Smithy from Dandenong.
That's it.
So you go...
I say, what have you been doing? I haven't done the quiz for a while, Jim. What have you been doing? If they say, good, thanks, how are you? Yeah. We go, bang,
we go,
you're
bang,
out.
They're gone.
That's right.
So you don't. We don't give a stuff how you are.
Yep.
And
no, we do.
And you're desperate to know how we are because we're A-graders, but we're not going to tell you. Because it elongates an already long
quiz.
This
is what I tell people. You're representing us, JB. This is not great for
natural arrogance.
Bill,
what did you say?
What's that?
We're A-graders, you said.
Yeah, so everyone's desperate to know how we're going, but we're not going to tell you.
Stop.
133353 is the number. Ring us now. Bill. Bill will answer. Don't tell us how you're going.
And the
just
prize.
Just what you've been doing. And what do you win, Bill?
Well, you win the Bob Jane T-Marts. Buy three, get one free. Selected Bridgestone or J-Trax tyres, Jim.
Right,
500
you,
bucks you get, actually.
Nice.
A voucher.
A voucher there, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, so we ready to go?
Have we got anyone on the line yet? pad out a bit more, Jim. A bit more padding. We're on delay.
Just say that it's a voucher.
So 133353, we've got a voucher, $500.
Have
Bob
we got
Jane
anyone on the line yet,
Bob
Bill
Jane?
And are the questions tough, Bill?
They are tough. I'm just having a look at them here. If they don't get the first... Daniel's there! Thank God, Daniel! Welcome.
Just waiting for the footy to start.
That's it.
Nice.
So are we. And the ground looks good, Brian. No
beautiful
changes.
No changes.
Buses.
And buses coming in from Devonport. We've heard that from Blair Brownless.
That's
now,
it.
If you don't get this first one, the Daniel, fair dinkum. Which Hawthorn player makes his long-awaited return to AFL senior footy today?
Grant Birchall.
Oh, well done. That's great. 741. Now, just think of that, how long that is.
That's a long time, Bill.
It's 2 years and a bit, Bill.
Well, and that sort of poisoning issue he had
that's
caused
back
him
to
a lot of problems.
The snake.
It got into his bloodstream, Bill.
Because we heard the coach gave him a dog. He should have brought around a snake.
He should have taken some tonic.
Now,
that was
number
a good
two
untold story, wasn't it?
That one will be...
That was good.
Yeah.
But the other one,
the
will
other
be
one won't be told.
Number two, Daniel. What number did James Sicily wear prior to number six?
It's tough.
I'm going to say 35.
No, you shouldn't have said that. That's wrong. Let's go to Craig there. G'day, Craig.
It's a tough one, Bill.
Yeah, good, mate. How are you going?
Don't ask him.
Just leaving the gym after smashing the bench press, boys.
What are you pressing?
Just took it easy today. Just did about 140 for 10 reps.
Well, that's good.
140.
I think you're lying.
What you did, Doc?
No, Billy. No, Billy, not lying, mate. Got guns of steel bigger than the ducks.
Oh, hello. Now we're starting to push
boy.
The envelope and touch
it. Oh, boy, you wear crispies too.
Craigie boy. James Sicily, he did wear, he wears number 6 now. What did he used to wear?
I'm not a Hawks supporter, I'm a Blues man, but I'll have a guess at 37.
No, a lot less than that.
It's
Mark Yates
young
wore.
Person's Mark big Yates. Number.
Mark Yates wore this number. Let's go to Daniel's son.
Young person's big number.
Just on the way to lunch, boys.
Well, where are we going today, Dan?
Just Ivanhoe Pub.
Ivanhoe Pub.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Four roads.
What do you have, the palm in a pot?
Yeah, mate, yep.
Anything you say, Billy, you'll say.
James Sicily wears number 6 now. What did he used to wear, Danielson?
Number 4?
No, you haven't been listening to the clues there.
Yes.
Brian's picked up something there. What are you saying, Brian?
It's a big birthday for
it's snowing in
people.
Tassie.
Snowing in Launceston.
I've just had something sent to me from Sandringham, where it snowed there nearly. Whole backyard covered in hail.
Bill?
Yeah, all of this is coming from your part of the world.
Well,
Bill,
imagine what it'll be like in Geelong.
Bill, I'll say it again.
Yes.
It's a big birthday number.
Righto. Thank you,
Doug. How do you know the answers, Doug?
Chris is there. G'day, Chris.
Because I know what James Sicily wore.
Very good.
Hello, Billy.
Oh, no.
You've got the sheep there,
Bill.
As always.
Yes, Timo.
That's not
you
my fault.
You can't say hello.
Well, I didn't say it. Bloody right. Dopey Chris did. let's go to Rhino. Ryan, welcome.
Just driving over from Werribee.
Why would you go to Werribee?
Coach under 19's footy side.
Oh, good. How'd we go today?
Down by 11 points, Bill.
Oh, bad luck.
Bill,
James
we haven't
Sicily.
Got through the question to you.
No.
You can move
we're
it along.
We're padding
a bit.
It a bit because you haven't said much today. James Sicily wears number 6. What did he used to wear? And Ducks come up with a very good clue. It's a young person.
Big,
great
big birthday.
Day.
Big birthday for everyone.
Don't say 18. What? Did you say 12? Oh, fair dinkum. What is going on with this mob? It's not the 18th, it's something else. Glenn!
Boys, just a lazy day at home.
I'm not asking him. What number did he used to wear, James Sicily?
Well, give 21 a go.
Oh,
there it is, Bill.
We're only up to number 3.
All right.
Get around him!
What's that name, Bill?
Yeah, I forgot. What's it called?
The Lifeline.
Lifeline. So we got Brian. We got you and Jim. No, just Damo and Duck. Okay, Glenn. This year, North Melbourne have had the most number of Rising Star nominations. Mm. With how many? And name them.
I know the answer to this.
You've got a Lifeline.
Yeah. Where you going to pick one of the boys?
Duck cheats.
You
want
to use it? You know, Duck's looking.
Glenn?
Like
Duck's got the answers in front of him.
All right, I'll go with Duck.
Oh,
right, I don't. How many they got?
I don't think I've got one wrong this year.
No,
but
that's because I know the answers in front of you.
I know they've had 4. That's obvious.
Yeah, good work, well done.
I played with this guy's father. Yeah. Bailey Scott
so
is one.
I patted that one nicely.
Just read them
that's
out.
That's funny. Cam Zerha is the other one.
He's going all right.
Taron Thomas, the high draft pick from for the Tassie? Kangaroos. I'll tell you what, he's exciting, Taron Thomas.
And who's the other one? Because this is a hard one.
Don't count off budget, mate.
He's got a good nickname.
Where's number 20? Nick Larkey.
It's Drew Petrie.
Nick Larkey.
All right. Do you like that, Glenn?
Yeah, I like that.
Well done.
Oh.
Very good. You are such a cheat. We're going to punch on the chin.
Damo, a couple of those are credit to the much maligned recruiting staff at North Melbourne?
Yeah.
I think the Zoo's in the 70s, in the 60s.
He was late.
As a pick and
have a look at the game we've got going on here at Launceston.
What's happening, the entertainment down there on the Oval,
we're
Brian?
Just a big beach ball, and they're playing a beach volleyball with a ball the size of a truck over a net, and they're dressed in different sort of gear.
Righto. We're only up to question 4,
Jim. Get it going, Bill.
Sean Burgoyne has played 369 games. And sits where on the all-time list of most number of games played? Where does he sit, Glenn?
How many has he played? 369?
Yes.
I'll go with 10.
Bloody close. Sorry, mate. Pat's there. Go, Pat.
Goals.
Yep.
And 8.
Got all the way around it.
We got Justin. We've had eight, Justin, and we've had 10. I reckon he might be in between that. Sean Berg,
yeah, 360. Drinking bourbon, chopping wood, guys.
What are you doing?
Drinking bourbon, chopping wood.
Oh, that's not a good combination.
No, no. I'd chop the wood first.
I reckon nine.
That's it. Well done. Yeah. Number five.
Got a bit of piaker in there.
Now, listen up here, Justin. There are four players for Hawthorn to have worn the number 24 jumper on more than 150 occasions.
Very easy, this.
Name three of them. One was my childhood superstar.
I'll go Damo.
Damo.
I should have gone BT. Langford,
why is
Knights.
It they, can I just say, why is it they never go BT? Yeah. He's always last picked.
Why is that?
Because he lies.
Yeah, exactly. He chills them up the river.
Because he lies.
Captain reckons he lies. Players, 150 games wearing number 20.
So I know, Langford and Knights, I'm assuming the guy, well, yeah, Stratton, who's got it now, does. Right. But
you only need three.
Oh, do I? Yeah. Oh, there's a three.
No, name the four because you should.
No, so I'm saying Peter Knights.
Yeah, Knights, Langford.
Yep.
Stratton.
Ben yep. Stratton. Yeah.
And I don't know the fourth.
Oh, think all right.
But I don't need to though. So,
what do you think?
I'm very confident in those three.
Justin.
Oh, I'll go with them.
Peter Knights.
Who's the fourth?
Chris Langford. Trent Crowd.
Trent Crowd.
Just speaking of the great time I had in Cable Beach, Bristol. Yep. Oh. His brother Cam runs the joint up there, and a very good man.
Does he seek out every celeb that comes his way as well?
He certainly seeks one out. Juddy, the week before, was up there.
Does he get on the camel rides?
Don't know.
And the sunset?
Fev, exactly. There's a couple of big names.
And number six, who captained Fremantle prior to Nathan Fyfe? Justin?
Michael Walters? No.
Nick, welcome, Nick, to the Triple M Trivia Quiz.
Drinking cans with me cat. Meow.
Oh. Duck. Not one of your mates, Duck, is it?
Drinking cans with my cat.
Drinking cans with his cat.
Meow.
That's something we've never heard of.
No.
Oh, he's dropped out. Oh, Darren's there. Darren, welcome to the quiz.
Yeah, what just sitting here watching the fire with my cat.
Oh, jeez. Well, what's going, what is going on?
You got a Siamese or a ginger?
Oh, no, he's just a Collingwood one, black and white.
Stock standard. Yeah.
Who captained Fremantle prior to Nathan Fyfe there? Real feral. Dazzling?
Was it Pavlich?
And that wasn't Pavlich. No. We got Lee there. Welcome to the quiz, Lee. What have you been doing?
Long one.
Lee, I think we're getting an operator that's sort of putting them on late.
Who have we got? Leroy down there. Leroy, lift.
Jeez, mate, we're getting half
the
answers.
What are you doing to us?
Leroy.
Where are we?
Leroy gets prodded every time we have a quiz.
When the bloke rings in, just get him so that we can speak to him. That's the whole idea of
we're up to question six. We got Jaden on the line. Jaden, what have you been doing?
Let's bypass six.
Just getting me shit, having a beer, having a look at the cat skins that I've shot.
Feral
cats. Vermin.
Who captained Fremantle prior to Nathan Lyon there?
Nathan Lyon. Oh,
Nathan Fyfe.
What is wrong with Bill? Who is it?
Write that down, Jim.
We on air, Bill.
Bill, take control of your quiz.
Sarah, welcome. Bill, how are you? What have you been doing?
How are you?
Oh, she's dropped out.
Fair incomplete.
Bill, have we ever gone to an ad break between six. The quiz?
Conrad.
Driving from Campbellfield to Mount Martha.
Lucky you. That's now, who captained Fremantle prior to Nathan Fyfe? And it's not Pavlich, and it might be a day of the week.
Monday.
Ah, there no Undy Monday.
No Undy.
We're only up to seven. Well done, Conrad.
Up to seven.
I've got to have a break. This quiz we go to an ad?
This might be an all-time
this is
worst.
For Bob Jane, team.
Yeah, of course it is.
This is so bad, it's bad.
They're happy with their investment.
How many goals did John Longmire kick in the final round of 1990 whilst shooting for his 100th goal? Well, shooting for his century, actually. How many goals did he kick that last home and away game?
Their last... What year?
1990. Only needed a handful to kick 100, and how many did he kick?
It's not a lot.
I'm going to say 5.
No, Bill, we're going to a break.
You can't.
We're going to the break.
You can't interrupt me, please.
We have to. We're going to a break.
That's
you brought the show to its bloody knees.
You cannot.
A standstill.
That's the first time in history we've gone to a break.
It was a good show until that.
We would like everyone to know we are cancelling the quiz.
1-3-3-5-3 ring in.
Bill,
the game's about to start.
Career worst. Ice down tools. Shut up. All right, Bill.
Yes.
Get your act together. That rambling mess before cannot represent what we do as a station.
I don't think it's all
for
my
Coates,
fault.
It is. For Coates Hire, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. Coates Hire, 13-15-52.
Yep.
Let's make it happen.
Oh, we got Brett online. Go, Brett. Welcome.
Just reading an article on the duck in today's Herald Sun.
What does it say? What's it about?
How he was targeted by Wallace and Fletcher.
For what?
Wallace and Fletcher.
In 1999. In one of the games.
Well, anyway, Bill, we really are needing to get
well, in that one of those games, John Longmire kicked how many goals in the final round? He needed only a handful to kick 100. How many goals did he kick in the last game?
He kicked 2 goals and 8 behinds, Bill.
Well done.
That's it, Bill.
Pretty boy. Here we go.
He's on fire.
Which Hawthorn player?
Get around him!
Oh,
Leroy, seriously. How about a Nixon?
And me and Leroy aren't going that well. Which Hawthorn player won 2 best and fairest during their 3-peat premiership years of 13, 14, 15?
Thinks he's never been unhappy with a mirror.
Oh, come on. Let's make it multiple choice.
Well, it is.
Spoil the bloody party over there, duckling.
Duck.
I've just... I didn't
a.
Say
shut up. Was. Josh Gibson. B. Sam Chubby Mitchell. C. Luke Hodge. Or D. Jordan... Here, Lewis.
Now, this is a lifeline. Of course, you've got me.
You got Brian, that's all. There, Brett, or you, really. You sound pretty smart. You might know it.
We'll go Josh Gibson.
Oh, bang.
Did you just bypass you?
Didn't even want Pete.
He didn't want you. He didn't want you, Pete.
Oh, I love it.
Sincerely on that.
Brett, 2 to go and you win.
Who do you think you are?
Since the 2008 Premiership, in which 2 years have Hawthorn missed the finals?
Now,
ooh, they didn't have a great year the next year.
Bristles hucked up.
Do you want to go to Brian?
No, I'm not helping you.
Yeah, we'll try him.
Oh, no, you can't. It's not a...
It'll give you nothing.
Well, then why'd you ask me then?
No.
Righto, smart-ass. Here we go. Come on. 2 years they didn't... They missed the finals.
2009.
Yes.
And 2016.
I got it wrong. Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Hey, come on, don't be mean. He did well.
I know. He was good, actually. Since the premiership in 2008, which 2 years have Hawthorn missed the finals? I'll give you 2009. There was another year there, Chris. And
Bill, they go on the ground.
Just watching the local footy here.
Hey, they tell us it's snowing out at Ringwood.
Well, it's bloody snowing at one turn of south. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, Jubilee Park. We've got vision, Jim.
Anyway, 7-minute mark of the game we're doing.
So it was
got out of the
they missed the finals
well.
In 2009 and 2007. What?
17.
Yes!
Oh,
now, here it is, Jim. Question 10 on the quiz for the $500 voucher to Bob Jane.
37-minute quiz.
Combined, how many goals did Gary Ablett and Billy Brownless kick in the 1989 grand final against Hawthorn?
Good
combined.
Question.
11.
Yes! Gary Ablett got 2 and Brownless kicked 9.
Nice.
Hey, well done. How good's that?
Not good.
Well done to Chris, our winner.
That's 100% not good. But what does Chris win?
$500 Bob Jane T-Mart voucher.
All right.
Goes very into nice. The draw for the tyres.
How
Bill.
Good was that?
And that was really
well
poor,
done,
Bill.
Oh, Bill.
That's a half-hour quiz.
BT wasn't used again in the quiz.
Such a thing fat as momentum within a show.
Yeah.
And you stopped
the speed.
You went to an ad break. Don't stop the momentum.
The show had stopped.
Well, it's not my fault. Leroy was late. Luke had the wrong name, so dropping out. Fair. I'm going to management.